Today's podcast is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox chips, great tasting, wholesome snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine. Start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support the podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/RHAP. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/RHAP. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with a special bonus podcast here. Some extra coverage for Survivor, and we're going to be talking a little bit of Survivor 30 here today, but also a little bit, probably more, Survivor 4 and Survivor 8, because my guest is the great Kathy Vavrick O'Brien. So we're going to talk to Kathy here in just a little bit. So I'm very excited about this. I always like to have the old Survivors, or the old school Survivors, I should say, on the podcast. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what Kathy has to say and what she's been up to. So that's going to be very, very fun. We've got our big live show coming up this week from New York City. I will be live with Stephen Fishback for the Survivor Know-It-Alls this upcoming Wednesday. So no live Know-It-Alls this Wednesday. And then I will be bringing you, still we'll have our exit interview, and I'm going to sit down with Spencer, the young lad, this week. And then I may push the voicemails until when I get back here into the studio early next week. But before we get to our interview with Kathy, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor. And those are our friends over at NatureBox, because there's one thing that we all need in life, and that's snacks. And you want to have snacks on your person so you don't end up like sort of like, because just like you don't go to the store hungry, you don't want to be like going into like 7-Eleven hungry, because you end up with candy and all sorts of junk that you're going to wish you didn't eat later. That's why plan ahead and do what I do and get yourself some NatureBox, because they've got all these nutritionist approved snacks, something for everyone. And it doesn't have any of the artificial flavors, artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, no grams of trans fat, no high fructose corn syrup. You'll find great tasting snacks without any artificial nonsense. So when that afternoon slump is coming, and look at your watch, it's right around the corner, get yourself some pistachio power clusters, your Big Island pineapple, your peanut butter nom noms, your dark cocoa almonds, all sorts of things. Whatever you want, go check it out. They've got plenty of snacks that you're going to love. So you've got a chance to get a free nature box with five of the most popular snacks. So you heard me, get some free snacks. Start your free trial by going to naturebox.com/RHAP. You know you're going to snack. Get smart about it with NatureBox. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP and get a free trial box of delicious snacks. All right, everybody. I am very excited today because this is going to be a real treat for you guys and for me. You know, I poll all of a lot of people at the start of the Survivor season, and I ask the Robin's podcast patrons, who is the number one person you want to hear from this season? And this was the person that they said by an overwhelming majority, please welcome the great two-time Survivor. Here she is, Kathy Vavrick O'Brien.
All right.
Kathy.
Hey, it's just really fun to talk to you again.
Yeah, you know, I can say it's really fun just to hear your voice.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's too funny how long ago it was. It's weird. Talk about aging, but it's fun to watch this new show. And actually, I had talked to a few people in casting, because they had sent out an email. You got
yes,
it, right?
Yes.
To update all the data. So I had sent out a picture of Patrick and myself, and we're doing this thing called extreme sledding. We're going down mountains here in Vermont on these cool sleds called hammerhead sleds. So I blasted out this video to casting going, oh my God, I don't have too many years left. Just throw me back on the show, will you?
So anyway. Wait, you're not dying, are you?
No, no. Okay. But you know, I mean, you just can't do this too many times.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, it was fun. I did hear from them, but they didn't, you know, they didn't have a slot for us. But anyway, it's just fun always to touch base with somebody about the show. So I'm glad you called.
Good. Now, hold on. Now, Patrick would want to go and do the show again, because I just remember him in Marquesas, in the Marquesa, and he did not seem like he even liked being out there for one day, let alone 39 days.
Well, let's remember, first of all, he drank a lot the day before he went out there. He had so much fun. Like, who wouldn't? He just got flown out to a wild island in the South Pacific. And, you know, I mean, the crew was in the background having a blast. So he had a lot of fun before he popped his head out in the jungle and started playing with me. But then, you know, I think, what is he, like 17, 18 now? He's 30 or something.
Yeah.
Close to it. So, no, he was pumped. We had to put a video together for him, too, because L.A. wanted to see a video. So we put together this hysterical video. But, you know, I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens. It'd be fun to go back. I would love to go back just to play with Patrick. If I could ever just be allowed, you know, I'm bowing to the Survivor casting guides.
Yeah. Is that the only way you would do it, to go back with Patrick, or would you do it solo also again?
Oh, I would do it solo, but it would be so much fun to do it with Patrick. I mean, I think we would get feisty together because we give each other a lot of lip.
Yeah.
So it would just be really fun. I would like him to experience it too.
All right. Well, Kathy, it's very fun to have you back here on the podcast. The last time you and I spoke, I don't think that there was a time in between, right around the end of Survivor Heroes versus Villains. So it's almost 5 years ago this May that we had you on the podcast. So this is a fun return for me also to have you back here.
Yeah, way to go. It is. It's good.
Yes. All right. So, Kathy, before we talk anything Survivor, what's new in your world?
Oh, I'm still selling a ton of real estate in Northern Vermont. Yeah, number one agent, been number one for like 5 years in a big company.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm negotiating deals and selling real estate. I've been snowboarding like a fool, and I do this extreme sledding. And, you know, in Vermont, it's just a real outdoorsy environment. So it's been fun. I fly down. I have some friends that have this ridiculous boat down in the British Virgin Islands, so I go sailing. So my life is rich. There's no doubt about it. I'm not rich, but my life is rich.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. And you made it through this winter, Kathy?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, you poor people in Southern California. It was pathetic out here. It was pathetic. Even though the snow's great, it was like, are you serious? We are going to get another 10 inches. So it's just blasphemous. And then it was, I would say, on average, you know, maybe zero for the whole month of February.
Do even you get tired of the cold?
Yeah, no, I'm sick of it. I am so sick of it. I am so sick of it. Okay, right now it's 30 degrees out and I have all my doors open because I said, okay, Kathy, it's 30. Embrace it. So, I'm tired of it. I was thinking, okay, I need to get down to some nookie spot somewhere and buy a cheap condo. I got old this year and I would love to be living in Southern California.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe you can come visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you said it's 30 where you are, and it's 30 where all of us are in Survivor World, because it's Survivor 30.
Yeah, I know. Way to go. Yes. I know. And worlds apart. Okay, talk to me about it.
Let's get our doors open here. So it's Survivor 30. It's no collar, blue collar, white collar. Now, how much Survivor have you been keeping an eye on over the years? Do you still watch every season? Do you jump in and jump out?
Yeah, no, I watch it. I watch him. It's funny how I don't embrace everybody's name until like way in. I'm a typical fan, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not. Most of the fans have the names down. So, and I still love the fact that, you know, I live in a small community. So there's still big fans out there that, you know, stop me on the street and they're so into it. And I'm like, oh yeah, right. Okay. I don't watch it intensely, but it's still so funny when the fans think they know how it all works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have to say, well, I think you might be wrong on that one, but you know what? Go for it.
Go for it. And so they did this twist this season of no collar, blue collar, white collar. Do you like that idea?
Yeah, no, I thought it rocked. And I saw online, just because I thought they were going to be doing Blood is Thicker Than Water. So that's why I was shooting for bringing Patrick and myself back. I was like really pounding him to bring us back. But when I knew, I read something online just about the fact that Probst called the big kahuna, as we know, Mark Burnett, and I don't know, this could be publicity, but Mark said, you know what, you have to stop thinking that you're entering into the last season, and Blood is Thicker Than Water might work, but why bring old contestants back? And I know Network, I was told, did a survey, and nobody wants to see former contestants. It's loved, it's just great to see, you know, new blood out there. So I think it's the bomb that it's the worlds apart, and they brought back that concept. I mean, I don't know how heavily they were drinking to get to it, but it was great.
Yeah, you know, I do think that they do. People do want to see them bring back players. You know, it's just hard to find like the right circumstance because everybody loved the Heroes versus Villains, which was, you know, all stars. And I know some people complain when they do half returning players, half new players. But I think everybody would just be psyched. But I do think that there's a little bit of like, well, what do you do for an encore after you bring everybody back again? And I feel like that they're more scared of the letdown that would come after another season where you bring everybody back as opposed to how excited you would be to have everybody come back.
I agree. The only thing, though, that I saw that was changing on Survivor that I thought was kind of fun was when they were definitely these, you know, relatives or blood relatives, they were, you know, working as a team, kind of like Amazing Race. So because there were such strong duos, it was messing the game up a little bit to the point of interest, because it wasn't like somebody was going to fly over, you know, and jump over to another alliance. I mean, these people were bonded. So you're watching like twos move through the game and it changed the game up a little. I think that is another reason why it was so interesting to watch. But don't get me wrong. I still think having fresh attitudes on like this season is going to be good, because these people think they know what they're doing. And right out of the gate, you know, they're just bowled over. It's, I love that when everybody's just getting slammed mentally and, you know, you're only 3-4 days in. And I go, yes, you know, I like that when they have new people on.
Now, following the show, you know, since all the time back when we were on the show all the way through now, are there any changes in the way that the show works now that you actually really like or really don't like?
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because as a fluke, Patrick is now married. Well, that's not a fluke, but as a fluke.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Kathy?
I know. No, it's a good thing he's married. But she's never watched the show, and, you know, Patrick was on. So we just sat down and watched Marquesa for the first time in like 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't think I watched it after I was on it. Mm-hmm. So we were like mesmerized at the challenges. They were simple, like not half as maybe exciting as it is to watch now, but they were more natural, I guess is the right word. Patrick kept saying, like, you know, we were just maybe kayaking out to grab fire off this thing that's floating out in the water, but it was more natural. Like you saw the beauty of the places that we were located, as well as it just seemed more guttural. And I think that has to do with the editing, because right now, you know, it's all about the game. So there was something that was a little bit more nature oriented, and tribal councils are sincerely more exciting now. But it was kind of nice that we treated each other like we treat each other really nicely back then. We, even though we were stabbing each other, it was just a friendlier environment. And I thought the editing, even though it was slower, was kind of nice. And yet I totally dig tribal council now. Probst just lays it out there. Like, he just throws it all out there. I mean, you got to come clean, really.
Right.
You got to come clean. You can't fudge it.
Yeah. You touched on so many great things where you're right, where back in the early days of Survivor, especially I feel like your cast, the season four cast, I feel like you guys were especially close while you guys were, you know, went through the game. Of course, everything with the Rotu and the Love Tribe, and you guys really had, you know, something there together. And even after the show, you guys have remained close. And I'd love to hear from you how close over the years. But it was an experience, a shared experience that you guys had together, where I feel like that's definitely something that's different from people that are going on the show now, where it's sort of like you see these people when you're there and then at the reunion and then probably never hear from them again.
Yeah. It was bonding in the beginning. Hey, I remember talking to some of those original producers, like by season 12, it just changed, and they even saw it, like, you know, compelling characters were harder to find because everybody was watching the show and trying to be a big student of the show and coming on board and just playing way too hard. So, and you know what, Lex and I always felt that the naivety, you know, that we were naive, and that's gone, you know, very few times. If somebody is on now that's naive, it's just because of their personality. But it seemed like there was definitely more of a level playing field earlier in the early days, because we didn't have shows to watch. and we couldn't emulate characters. So we were all terribly naive about how to get to the end. So it was less diabolical, but like we were commenting on when we were watching Marquesa, it was just more natural. And also, even though they have the beauty shots now, there was something about those challenges that were just like almost sweet. Mm-hmm. And yet they were fun to watch.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's still good.
Kathy, I too have recently rewatched The Marquesa over the past year. That I did for season 30. One of the things I was doing is I've gone back and I've watched all of the seasons in order. What a nerd, right?
Oh my God.
Yes, but Kathy, I have to say, I was so impressed, and this is, you know, a hand on a Bible. I was so impressed with your game. And I really, like, there were some people that, you know, that you think, okay, that this person was good, and then you go back and you watch the tape, and it's like, they really weren't that great. But you were almost the opposite, where I knew you were good, but I don't think I remembered how great you were. And I was really so impressed, and I was so taken aback by how good you were, and it was so early on in the show's history.
Yeah, no, that's really nice. And, you know, I and my daughter-in-law, we were watching it, and she said the same thing. You know, I just let it hang out there. But at the same time, what I did, I remember distinctly, was just taking each day at a time and realizing where I sat. So, you know, I didn't have an ultimate game plan, like some master plan, but I could totally tell when I was on the chopping block. And so I was so, like, out there, man. I just threw it out there. But at the same time, protecting myself. It was an interesting game. I was shocked by what it was all about. And it was fun, but it was really hard, and I enjoyed it. I sort of got through this transformation. And then at the end, man, I was just, you know, freaking out about my dad and just going through something. But it was great fun, and thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
It was an enjoyable experience, to say the least.
Hey, Kathy, I wouldn't say it if I didn't feel it. So
Yeah. Thank you.
No sucking kneecaps here. So
No, I know you don't do that.
And just going back to that game. Now, again, I don't know how much, you saw it recently. So the biggest thing that I was thinking about, like when trying to go back and look at your game, was, do you feel like you could have done anything different? Like, I think there's a point, I think it's the final six, where you're talking about, like, maybe should I sort of pair up with the general? Because you had Sean and V, who were a pair, and Nalia and Pascal, who were a pair. And it was almost like, you know, you were sort of like, well, I know I can get to at least the three by going with one of these pairs, but I don't have my own pair. Do you ever think back and say that you, would wish you would have gone one way instead of sticking with that five?
No, I didn't. I don't. This is where I made my mistake, though. My mistake wasn't in my pairing, because I really felt confident between Pascal and Nalia that when we got right down to it, I honestly knew that there was something I was going to pull out to split them. I just felt it. And I also, because I knew their energy and I knew how they thought, and the general was sort of losing it a little bit. He was just so out there, man. He just didn't have enough calories taking it in. So he was depressed.
He's going to catch a boar.
No, I mean, that's all he wanted to do was chop wood and catch a boar. And yet he went through a transformation. You know, he left his job. He's doing cool stuff now. And I love the guy to death. But I just knew that I couldn't, not it wasn't trust. I just couldn't get him to play. And, you know, to this day, he like kicks himself. He didn't play the game. But and I knew Pascal and Nalia were playing hard. But I also knew that there was a chink in their armor, and I knew I was going to find it. What I didn't do correctly was in those final moments, I should have been backstabbing. I should have been backstabbing. And it was just really hard to do that because we all really liked each other. So I should have done a backstab at some point at that final five down. Even though I sort of did, Pascal drew that purple rock. Talk about luck.
Poor but, Pascal.
Yeah, I should have just done maybe even a little backstabbing starting at seven, where it was more lethal. And I definitely would be a little bit more lethal if I went back on the show, because you know those moments when you can be lethal and you go, maybe I don't need to do that quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough spot because I think we look at it still with a 2015 mentality of, okay, right, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this, and then you played the best game. But I do feel like there was also going to be in 2002, or I guess 2001, when you guys actually went and played that game, that there were probably going to be really hurt feelings if you went a certain way, where I feel like people would be less understanding of, hey, I had to make this game move. Even like the people that were on the jury, like the way that they got up there at the end, like they really were like the row 2-4 came at it from a place of, you know, you hurt me by taking us out.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, talk about, it was all about, you know, the love tribe, man. I mean, people were so offended and got so hurt. It was wild. I was devastated that even, you know, Vesepia took me down after I fell off that challenge in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we were climbing those mountains, you know, doing that walk past all the torches and, you know, hugging and kissing. And thank God we were at the final three, and she and I were going the final two, even though I thought she was throwing it on a little too heavy. But, you know, at the same time, it was felt that, you know, we were bonded. And then three women in the final three, that was hard too. Mm-hmm. You know, we were excited that three women made it to the end, and then we had to play kind of hardcore. So I shouldn't have fallen off that challenge. Thinking back, I didn't have to. Look at my bra top falling off.
Yeah.
So it's actually a comical way to lose $1 million. Anyway,
what did Aaliyah say? She said, "Kathy, your top." Is that what she said?
Yeah, yeah. She looked up and she said, "The cameras are going to grab your breast." And I went, and then she was right. It was falling out just about. But you know, it's like a guy when he looks. If somebody says your fly's down, you know, you go, "Oh," you know, you look down. I mean, it's just natural to go whoop. So that was really my biggest mistake. Was just, you know, what the, you know, I'd lost my concentration. But more backstabbing should have happened. But you're right. It was difficult to do. You kept your cards really close.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you know, you got to play it hard and be out there. Kind of like All-Stars. We started to see that change up even on All-Stars. It was brutal.
Now, going with Marquesa still for a minute. Now, you voted for Nalia to win the game. Do you stand by that? Do you feel like that was the right call? Or do you think sometimes like, I probably should have voted for V?
No, I wasn't going to go vote for V. Are you kidding?
Now, was it because of how she played the game or because you were mad at her?
No, how she played the game. She just like slithered underneath everybody.
Because a lot of people say that she was very underrated, V.
Oh, well, and you know, I don't agree with anybody that plays the game that's stealth like that. And, you know, and there was luck involved, even though she was playing stealth. Let's face it. There are stealth players in the game that totally get knocked out. So she was playing stealth and moving along and kind of tagging along with some alliances, knowing that she would probably be just sort of underground. And I just don't agree with that play. So I couldn't do it. You know, she wasn't making some strategic moves. Nalia was. She was all the time in the jungle talking to Pascal and myself, going back and forth, thinking of different ways and combinations. Totally. And she was open and verbal about it. So I gave my vote to her. Plus, you know, let's face it, V stabbed me in the back. I wasn't in the mood.
Well, Kathy, believe me, I can relate to that. Where you're right there at the, you know, you get to the final three and you have somebody that you could trust. It's like you're still, and you have to, you know, write their name down the next day. It is like a little bit.
But you know what really bugs me to this day, that they go to final threes,
yes,
you know, for the winning. I'd get to say that just drives me nuts that we had to go to two. I'm like, going, whoa, 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 whoa. I think the contracts always have to stay to twosomes. So now that I see it's threesomes, it's go, ah.
Yeah. You know, I have a picture. We did a Rob as a podcast roast about a year ago. And one of the gifts that I got was from Lex, and a woman, Molly, brought it to me to the show. But I have like, it's like the third place club.
Yeah.
I do have a photo of you on there.
It's true.
Yes.
It's a third place club. I mean, seriously, there were great players that went out at three. I think if we brought the third people back as a season, it would be good. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, first is the worst, second is the best. I don't know. Yeah. We gotta make it rhyme for third.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we would be good. I think it would be an interesting crowd.
Yeah. Well, that'd be something. Survivor 3 is a crowd. Three's company. Yeah. Menage a trois. That is
what they're good. Oh, my ratings. God. They could go down that. And it's timely with 50 Shades of Grey out. I mean, seriously, they could have fun with it.
Yes. That would be very exciting. Do you ever think back to how surreal it was to not only do the whole Survivor experience, but that you had the Rosie O'Donnell finale?
Yeah. Yeah. We were lucky. Okay. Talk to me. I mean, seriously, our finales were crazy. They built a set in Central Park.
Yeah.
How much did that cost them?
I have no idea.
I mean, they got permission to build a freaking tiki hut over the skating pond in Central Park in Manhattan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we were blessed. And then we got to stay at, where were we? We were at a great hotel. I can't remember.
Was it the Plaza?
Yeah, the Plaza. Sorry. Yeah. You know, and they put 5 of our family members up, and then we had these massive parties. They took over a club. That huge club. It was just great fun. I mean, they just don't do that anymore, which is sad because it was just so terrific to have that. So it was really fun to be on the first shows. And I also think the production on the first shows were different. You know, they brought over more helicopters. We're getting flown up to mountain challenges. You know, it was just different. They were spending more money.
Well, it was the number one show on television.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They were bringing in more money and they were spending money. Yeah.
Yeah, they were spending money too.
Yeah.
So did you spend any time with Rosie O'Donnell outside of that show? Because it seemed like she really liked you from the finale.
Yeah. I didn't get to know her afterwards, but we did have long conversations. So, yeah, because she was like giving me a lot of ribbing and a lot of fun. So nothing longer than, you know, just New York.
Yeah.
But we had fun. We did have fun. And it was fun going around to all those different shows. I don't know if the contestants still get to do that, but, you know, the electronic media, I mean, I was thrown on a zillion shows, it seemed.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah.
Now, Kathy, this season of Survivor with the no collar, white collar, blue collar is a 3-tribe format. Now, we were the pioneers of the 3-tribe format, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I think it's harder. I don't know if you got that, but all of my...
Kathy, I know it's harder. I didn't make it through one vote of a 3-tribe format.
Well, it was just all of a sudden you're playing the game a lot harder because you're in a tribe of 6. I was telling somebody that the other day, and you know, no one gets it unless you've been on the show. But yeah, I mean, going in a tribe of 8, you can kind of hide a little. But in 6, man, you are out there.
You know what? I've always wondered if you guys were going to go to tribal council. Now, the original Mogo Mogo group of your 6, you guys never went to a tribal council. If you guys did lose a challenge, who was going to get voted off? Let's say you lost on the second one and before Jenna ultimately went home. Who would have gone out?
I know. You know, we were just not gelling. I'll tell you, you know who was having a bitch of a time out there? Which I never knew this, but Colby, because there were no insects in Australia. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. He was annihilated with mosquito bites and bug bites. And he said, this is so hard. And he was very withdrawn. I think he had just gone into a really good relationship, too. But more so, those bugs were flying up his shorts. And I don't think he had the skin to take it. So believe it or not, Colby was definitely a weak link and we felt bad for him because he just wasn't into it.
Wow.
It was not his cup of tea. So that's why I'm glad he got to come back and he played a great third game. Seriously, I think it might have been Colby.
Wow. You know, it's so fun. And, you know, going back and watching the All-Stars, I really did like that makeup of the original Mogo Mogo. I thought that was such a fun group. There's when you guys get there and you have you and Jenna and Sheehan are talking and, you know, you guys are all, you know, talking and then Richard overhears what you guys are saying. And it's I think Colby has the great line, I don't trust any of you guys.
Oh, no, I know. And he didn't.
Yeah.
And then on top of the bug bites. But then, you know, the whole thing was Hatch, too. You know, Hatch snuck on matches. Did I ever tell you that story?
You could tell that. I've definitely heard it.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, CBS doesn't care at this point, for crying out loud.
No, probably not. Care. Yeah.
I don't think they do. So he did. He snuck matches on.
Yes. Well, he says at one point in the show, he's like, I could make fire like that if I wanted to.
I know. Well, this was what was comical. And maybe, I don't know if I told you the story, but he smuggled him in. I won't tell you how. But I guess I just did. And so meanwhile, I'm trying to make fire with my glasses, unbeknownst to me that the prescription glass isn't strong enough, you know, to start the fire. And I'll never forget, he comes over and he chucks the matches on my lap. And I go, are you kidding me? He goes, just try to make the fire. I'm going to distract the camera crew. So I go, that's crazy. I'm not doing that. And he goes, well, and then he had to leave because the cameras always followed him. So there I am with the freaking matches, you know, about ready to get disqualified or whatever. So I get up quietly and go hide him in the jungle and never used him. And I finally talked to one of the producers and he kind of hid them and they just kind of went somewhere until the finale party.
Yes.
And he pulled him out and chucked him at Hatch. So it was just a really funny thing.
Yes.
Why didn't I say, I probably could have started fire with the matches. What's the big deal?
Yeah, it would have been fun.
Yeah.
It would have been an even better story.
I would have been. I could just blame it on Hatch. I was too worried about getting voted out. Jesus.
Were you worried about getting voted out? Because I feel like that you were somebody that I feel like a lot of people wanted to work with in the All-Stars.
It was testy. And I was just worried that if I lit fire with matches and people said, Jesus, you snuck on matches. I mean, were they really going to believe me?
Yeah.
Or are they going to believe Hatch? Neither one of us, probably. So it was a struggle for a while until Lex and I really got the ball rolling. And then we were great.
Yeah.
So, but up until that point, it was sketchy.
And you were really courted by both sides quite a bit in the All-Stars because you had a lot of people that wanted to work with you on your tribe, on Mogo Mogo. But then there was like a whole flirtation with all of the Shapira people and they kept stealing you and bringing you over. So you must have really felt like the belle of the ball.
No, it did. It was great. I really did. And that's actually what got my head a little inflated. So when I finally got over there, I thought for sure Mariano and I, because we were friends going into that show, pretty good friends. You know, I've been to his house a couple times prior to that. But obviously that wasn't the case.
Yes.
So I was pretty shocked by that, you know, because I did get wined and dined by that tribe. And then, you know, it was like being around, I was like dead meat. You know, I couldn't get through to anybody, you know, and Lex and I worked it so hard. There's a lot of stuff that wasn't even aired. I mean, I was just talking to everybody about the dynamic of, man, you're going to get just chopped by Mariano. Nobody wanted to hear it. And then they did. And every time they showed up, you know, afterwards, they're going, oh, Jesus, I guess you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Kathy, my theory always was on this was that, you know, all of the prize money was higher for everybody else. So whereas, you know, they talked about, oh, Survivor All-Stars, that's going to be $2 million if you win. They said, you know what? Okay, we're only going to make it $1 million, but we're going to raise all of the other prize money. But I felt like by doing that, they sort of incentivized people to sort of stand pat, to sort of say, hey,
absolutely.
Like,
yep.
You know, Kathy, I could go with you, but I'll come in. I might come in seventh now. And if I come in fourth, that's going to be a lot more money. It's like not as big of a deal if I don't win, if I come in third or fourth.
Yeah, totally. That was a chitter chatter that didn't make it on camera because they couldn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, and people were chatting about that openly in the final five. And even, I mean, when I was around too, but certainly that's what the final five I think was comprised of, was even if they did get voted off, they're making some better money. And yet they were all disgruntled. Let's face it. Everybody, you know, really thought Mariano was taking them to the end. He did a bang up job convincing them all that, you know, oh yeah, you're going to be in the final three. Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, he did a really good job and he really went on to perfect that. Now, since you and I have talked last, you know, Rob has come back and has actually won the game. Were you happy for Rob that he ultimately came back and won?
Yeah, I was. I really was. I was happy that he did it. And then I was incredibly stunned at how everybody went along with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it just solidified what I was saying in All-Stars is that he gets people glazed over. You know, I mean, totally. I mean, Lex and I saw it coming that we made the mistake bringing Amber over immediately and that he was being an ass actually on that show, if you ask me, on All Stars. He was just being really rugged with people.
Yeah.
And isolated himself with Amber, which is too bad because, you know, Mariano's got a great personality. He's a great guy. And but he just didn't want to hear it. And they just kind of hit out together. But when he played on the next show, it was brilliant. It was fun. He was just working it. And he actually, I think, did it with some sincerity. And it worked. Everybody was like, sure, sure. You want the $1 million? Want me to write you a check right now?
Yeah. You know, in that final tribal council, though, I felt like you really did a number on him. Where, you know, I think back to this a lot since I've rewatched it, where, you know, I think you were second and Lex was first. And Lex, you know, just really like ripped into him and was like, how could you do this to me? You were my friend. I would never do that. Blah, 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 blah. And really just like went and was angry. But you, Kathy, you didn't give the angry. You did the I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed in you. And yeah. I think about that a lot now. It's like, you know, it's like the mom and the dad. It's like, you know, I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed in you. And I felt like that made him more upset in that moment than what Lex was saying to him.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, it was the truth. I don't know what it was. Just odd that when he sincerely came to us about saving Amber.
Yes.
And he admits it. It was real. He fell in love with her.
Yeah.
He did. I mean, he was falling in love from afar. I mean, I could see it in his eyes. And even though we brought Amber to help him, we also thought it would help us, too. Let's face it. I mean, we were not being, you know, silly about that. But at the same time, I felt bonded to the kid. And that's because of Marquesa and the experiences afterwards. So I just... You know, it wasn't that I didn't want them to be in the final two. It was just really odd in that final 10 days about how they were handling themselves. They didn't have to do half of what they did, and they still had a control on the game. But it was done with a lot of arrogance, and they hurt people, and it just didn't need to happen. It just didn't need to happen. Anyway, so that's what was disappointing. But you know what? He did it totally different afterwards when he won.
Yeah.
Where I think he was playing a respectful game. And even though he had a lot of funny, sarcastic comments, which don't we all, I think he did it better.
Well, I think he learned a lot from, you know, from that game in particular. And I think he was affected positively by Russell Hantz. I think that watching Russell Hantz and how he lost the game twice, I felt like maybe crystallized for him. Oh, this is what pisses people off. Let me, you know, work on not doing that.
Yes, I totally agree. I could. Yeah, you got it right there.
And also playing with Russell Hantz and then being a part of, like, you know, that season where everybody just came away and Russell, nobody is going to vote for Russell Hantz then.
Yeah. No, it worked out for him. And he definitely had some people on board, though, on that cast, which I bet if they did a little bit more profiling, liked having that type of a leader, you know, where I kind of like this guy, and even though I might vote him off, I think I'll hang out with him a little bit longer, you know, and let's play, you know, let's face it. I mean, we're seasoned on how it all works. It means so much when you're seasoned, just understanding when you're going to be informed when tree mail shows up. So, I mean, you just have such a leg up in the game compared to other players. So I agree with you when you were saying in the original at the beginning of this podcast was, I think it's tough to bring back some past players and have newbies there. It's just not balanced. If you're going to bring the former contestants back, we all have to be together and it has to be former contestants because it's overwhelming to just take on that experience in the jungle. It just torques you mentally. So you can't play up against somebody who knows how it all works.
Just going back to the whole not voting out Amber versus voting out Amber decision. So let's say, you know, things went according to the plan. So how would that have played out then? It would have been you and Lex and Rob and Amber and Tom in the five. Like, would you guys have just said, forget about Sheehan at that point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Forget it. You know, let's just go with the strength of, and you know what? It was a little bit of that row two thing. I still had in my blood.
Yes.
You know, and I think Lex had a little bit of that from Africa, too, because they were so bonded because it was so bad there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt that we were going to have this camaraderie, you know, like how much fun to have the camaraderie. We saved the girl for you. We're going to be in the final five. You probably still win, but it'll just feel good. You know, it'll just feel good instead of going with some of these oddball players you're bringing along with you. And that's what I wanted to have happen, as well as being in the final five. And then, yeah, you know, he probably would have won anyway, or Amber, but maybe not. It just felt good. And that's what I wanted. But guess what? We all wanted a little bit more of that in All-Stars, because as Jeff Probst has always said, it was not good out there. I could use better, worse language. You know, there was just a bad attitude. Everybody had a bad attitude on that All-Star cast. It was weird.
It's too many egos, I think.
Yeah. We all came back thinking like, hey, we're the All-Stars. We know what we're doing. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And hey, I'm the star of my season, so I'm used to like having like being like the focus of the attention here. Then, you know, there's only, you know, 42 minutes in the show.
And then Rupert, you know what else was weird out there? I got to tell you, I mean, Big Tom and I were making fire just as fast as Rupert was. But when Rupert let out an arg and went over and got a log, you know, there were no cameras on us. It was just, Rupert's letting out one of those pirate things. Let's just go over and catch that on film. So I also noticed that with having three tribes, and there weren't as many camera crews, because I think they were trying to be a little bit more frugal on their overhead. So there was stuff happening that, you know, they were just staying on the exciting characters that were exciting in the beginning. Anyway, it was torquey, I think, for the crew to film three locations. I'm sure they got it down now.
Yeah, now they have it figured out. The one other thing about the All-Stars that jumped out to me is that when I go back and I watch that early part of the game, and there's a point where after you guys have the tribe swap and you guys inherit Ethan and Jerry onto your team, I just look at that and I say, wow, there on this one tribe is, you know, Kathy, Richard Hatch, Colby, Ethan, Lex. And I just felt like this is like the Avengers here on one team. And I'm like, why couldn't these five people just like ride it out? Like, where was Colby going? Where was Ethan going? You know, it wasn't like that they were going to go and join Rob and go beyond.
No, I agree with you. And that's what was a struggle for me and Lex, actually. You know, so much of it was Colby was just like, I got to tell you, the environment there was different than Australia. You know, it's arid. And remember how bad Panama was?
Yes.
Hello? It was pathetic. There wasn't a palm tree in sight. We couldn't eat coconuts. I mean, honest to God, you walked in the back of the jungle at Panama and the ground moved. There was so much shit over snakes and whatnot. Like, I would go back to get water and we would all comment like, you guys, this is wild. The entire jungle floor is moving. So it was just a pathetic location and it was just disgusting. So I know after coming off of the Outback, right, it was just different. He wasn't into it. I could tell. And, you know, that whole conversation about getting paid a certain amount of money came up. And I don't know. Ethan was sort of the same way. He was just devastated physically because he was running triathlons at that point. And I remember he kept coming up to me going, geez, how much muscle mass have I lost? Seriously. And then I love Ethan, but he was worried about that. I don't know. It didn't jive. It just didn't jive that tribe, and it should have.
Yeah.
And then Hatch was hysterical. I mean, we had to get rid of him because he's so diabolical. And yet he wasn't really. He seemed to be like really nice out there. I was just waiting for the switch to flip. So it was just best that we got rid of them.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. The dynamic in that tribe never took off. It never lit.
Yeah. Unlike those matches. Just like the symbol.
Just like the matches.
And I don't know if there's if we can make the analogy further about, what's up, who's butt. But we'll, I don't know. I feel like there's something there if we think about it enough.
Something's there. There you go.
All right, good. I'm glad you brought up Richard, because tying this back to this current season of Survivor, we saw in one episode more survivors walking around naked than we've seen maybe since Richard was last on Survivor. And now, you know, Richard didn't do the naked thing too much in the first season. You know, there was a time, like a day here or there that he would walk around naked. But by the All-Stars, like, he's walking around naked a lot, right?
Yeah. Well, let's face it. First of all, okay, Hatch is hysterical. You know, he's a little delusional. Huh? But you know what? I remember distinctly on All-Stars saying, dude, I mean, talk about a marketing ploy. You know, and first, that first challenge, he had an African khaki kilt on.
Yes.
Right?
I remember.
And it had Velcro, and he just stripped that puppy off just to grab the camera. So it actually was brilliant. It was smart. He was naked. He got a ton of airtime. And I know it cost him a lot of money, because every time they have to send the film back to put that little blur over his unit, and they have to send it back to animation, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I was tired. Actually, Lex and I decided we were tired of looking at his naked backside more than the front side, because after sitting on a log for a couple hours and standing up, it was really, not good. So it was all about marketing. He stole the show. And that's what just happened on Worlds Apart.
Yes.
It's marketing.
All right.
Marketing 101.
We had people like Max talk about, hey, this is strategy because I'm naked. I get to have alone time. Do you think, is it a smart strategy for a Survivor player to walk around naked, or does it put off the other people, especially in a small group like a Tribe of Six?
Yeah, it puts them off. It's not going to work. People are going to second guess it. And yet, maybe 24 hours later, if something else happens, they're going to forget the naked scene unless he keeps doing it. I did find it odd that who's the chick? I forget her name that went naked.
Shireen.
Okay. All right. Talk to me. That is odd, especially when she can't stand up on the rocks. And you've got two guys right behind you. It's like, oh, sweet pea, we should not be doing this. As nice as it feels, or even it's a marketing strategy, don't do that.
Yeah, that was
odd. It made me laugh hysterically. And how about kudos to the editors that they captured her slipping on the rocks? And you know what I'm saying? When you get home and they start editing it and you don't know what, she's probably mortified right now, the poor girl.
I don't know. I think that she probably was okay with it.
Oh, I don't know. Right.
Now, Kathy, who from the season that you played with do you still keep in contact with, if anybody?
Oh, yeah. I stay in touch with Lex. Not enough, but we do talk. I talk to Nalia all the time.
Yeah. How's she doing?
Yeah, she's doing great. She has a bunch of kids. She's a riot. We went to that reality get together for, the Wish Kids down in Florida. It was really quite fun. Yeah, it's a good one. That's a good one. So she's doing really well. And I stay in touch with Pascal, but not so much.
Kathy, Pascal turned 70 this week, according to my research.
He did. I stay in touch with Tammy. Not a lot, but enough. Tammy and I became really close after the show, even though we didn't like each other during the show.
Yeah, I didn't know that you guys were so close.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There was a scene that didn't make it in the show, but she had this odd thing going on. I think she had a little blood poisoning because she had this odd rash that looked like worms. No lie. And it was on her whole arm. And an hour and a half later, it was off of her arm and on her back. And so finally we got the associate producer, that hangs out there during the night.
Yeah.
And they brought in the doctors, and I know she got an IV. She didn't leave the game, but she was laying down somewhere. And I sat up, I waited for her because I was just floored that she was sick somewhere on a mat in the jungle. And she was stunned that I would have done that. I said, seriously? Like, I was worried for you. And even though the rest of the tribe was asleep, it was this female bonding moment. But I think it was like my mom thing. And so afterwards, I helped her with her wedding and we became really close. She's really fun.
Yeah, I always liked her as a viewer. I never really got to know her after the show, but she was a favorite of mine from the season.
Yeah, and I stay in touch with Rob. I mean, there are a lot of people, not Rob, sadly not Rob and Amber, but Rob DeCanio. One of these days.
The general, yes.
General, yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear from Boston Rob every now and then. And, he's doing good, but he's, running around with so many kids.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah. He's four now.
Oh, he has four?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Four God, daughters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to Facebook him and just see how he's doing.
Yeah. So that's good. Anybody from the All-Stars that you talk to?
Sheehan.
How's Sheehan doing?
She's doing well. She's just selling a ton of real estate in New York City. So she never watches Survivor. She can't stand it.
Well, Kathy, I was hard on Sheehan when I went back and watched the last, watched this season, because I felt like Sheehan is always talking about how stupid everybody else is, but I feel like she never has any ideas of her own that are good.
Nope, she didn't. I remember when she came to me and she said, I can't believe that people don't like me. And I go, let me tell you why. And so
she's very negative.
Yeah, she's very negative. She's got that New York frame of mind. Yes, she's not concerned about anybody else.
But she's fun in real life. I like her personally. Just on the show, like it bums me out when she's always talking about how stupid everybody is.
No, I agree. And you know what else too? Like I was talking to Lex, this is a while back, and Kelly, his wife, you know, if Lex had you know how funny Lex is, like he could do stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. And no one saw that, you know, if he goes back, he needs to show that comic side of him because he is freaking funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that he's just so intense though about the game. It's hard to be funny and intense.
I know, but you can. But of course, he doesn't have that manipulative type personality where you can blend it. But if he could, I think his humor would definitely help him through that game.
Yeah, I think so. Let me take some questions here from the listeners of the podcast. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Let's take a question from Matt Ligori, who says, now, Kathy, you've played on a 2-tribe and a 3-tribe season. Which do you think is harder to be on from the game perspective? And which is better to have on from a viewer perspective? Now, you talked about a little bit of what it's like to play the game, that it's harder. Do you like watching it better with 2 or 3?
Oh, I like it better with 2. I think the 3 tribes is just, it's too much. It's not necessary. I did not enjoy playing on the 3-tribe scenario. And it was just primarily because all of a sudden you're just thrust into 6 players. And it was better with 8. I mean, you really had to, you know, you had to think a little bit more. I mean, in the 3-tribe situation, you're just throwing it out there pretty damn fast. So I prefer just the 2 tribes. I think you get to know the characters. The characters get developed instead of flying by the seat of your pants. That's my opinion.
Okay. Brendan Fitzpatrick says, dude, amazing. Since she's played in Marquesas and All-Stars, the Kathy Vavrick O'Brien casting type, tough yet emotional tribe mother, has become at times both a fan favorite character and a hated one. How does Kathy feel about this? Who has she felt has been the best examples of her character type? And do any of them hold a candle to her, the original queen mother? So Kathy, this is an interesting thing to me because I feel like a lot of times, you know, we have the mom who goes on the show. And sometimes, you know, people really fall in love with that character. And other times they get to the tribal council or the final tribal council and they get no votes and they get just chewed out by everybody.
Yeah. So I you know, there have been so many mom roles and characters that have been on Survivor in the past. But invariably, though, I think the cast member that plays too much of the mom role and isn't smart enough to play that game hard enough just isn't going to make it. And they just don't do well. So the funny thing is, though, on Marquesa, casting after the show was over said, we thought you were going to take on the mother role and you didn't. So I don't feel I did play a mom role in Marquesa at all, even though they had kind of put me in there to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think I was playing more of the independent older woman. Mm-hmm. And certainly I was not playing mom on All Stars. So, but I know fans put me in that slot. So to answer that question, to be perfectly honest, I can't remember other players that were similar to me, but I do know that there have been some that were sort of similar where it's that strong older woman who was a mom and at my age. And I agree. I think they were trying to put that cast member in there. They don't do it anymore, though. I think they cut back on that probably about 5-6 seasons ago. I just don't remember the names of these players. I'm not as big a fan as you guys.
You know what, Kathy? I think what it is, though, with these moms, I think it's sort of like the mom that can sort of like be the tough mother who can hold her own is one thing. And I think that's respected. But I think that what the players and sometimes the viewers seem to not like is the, hey, don't be mean to me. I'm just a mom. I'm just out here to be them. I'm just the nice, compassionate. And then if that person who sort of plays on the mercy of everybody of like, hey, don't like, I'm just here to, again, sort of like almost like surrenders in some ways of like don't be hard on me because I'm just this motherly type.
Yeah, then, I agree. I do remember some players now that were playing that up. And they even said they were going on the show and milking that a little bit.
Yeah.
Where they would go around to each player and it was obviously not taken well. You know, trying to, you know, baby them.
It really comes out to, if you can dish it out, you better damn well be able to take it. And I think that's where people and players don't like it, when the people, they like, oh, this person is dishing it out, but then when they take it, they crumble. You know, they
No, you're absolutely right. Rock on. Yes. No wonder your podcast is so successful. You got it down.
We're cracking this down, Kathy. And that's what you were really, that's what you were really good at.
Yeah, no, I know how to figure out the players. I just watch that show for sheer entertainment and brain candy right now, but I don't dive into it. Except with somebody like Vince. Oh my God.
Yeah, did you like Vince?
Yeah, I thought he was just a great character. I wish he had lasted longer because he was so intricate.
Yeah.
But no, it's too bad he got axed.
Yes.
He was a wild card, man. He was way out there.
Yeah, almost like a Peter Harkey type.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, he just didn't know what was coming at him, but too bad. It would have been so entertaining if he stayed in there somehow. Oh, well.
Yeah. Michael Clark wants to know, do you have any good Sean Rector stories? That's one of the other things. I was so impressed by Sean when I watched the show the first time and also the second time around. Not that he was a fantastic player of the game, but the guy was so talented that I'm really surprised that he didn't go on to, you know, become like a movie star or a comedian or something like that. I just was really, you know, taken aback watching him in action.
Yeah, no, Sean is the bomb. We danced so hard at that finale. He's such a nice kid. You know, he's so involved with his community and taking care of kids that even though he was doing some comedy, you know what it's like to go into a full acting career, man. Yeah. I mean, you just have to be right out there rubbing elbows with everyone out there. You know that's what it takes. And he just does, he's not that kind of guy. And he's just a terrific, terrific human being. We actually do stay in touch. I forgot to tell you. Yes, Sean and I stay in touch because he is just an entirely lovely soul and funny and just, you know, would give you, you know, the shirt off his back, whatever expression you want to use. And great stories about Sean. I mean, Sean and I actually got into a really involved conversation that I was shocked they didn't put it on the air, but it was about the black and white community and how a black person would be accepted in America for winning Survivor versus a white, and the white villages and the black villages and how it would be interpreted. It was really involved and intricate, and he was so passionate about it. It was like a really steamy but really good conversation. And then what people really need to know, which they don't do anymore, okay, they don't do this anymore with casting, and it bothers me, is that that kid didn't know how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
He did not know how to swim, even though he's a great athlete. I would take him out into the quiet calm of this one area off this point, and I taught him how to float. And he was freaking out because he didn't know how to swim. I said, you just need to be calm in the water. And we were learning how to float, just so at least if he got into a jam, he could float. So, you know, when that one challenge, when we had to dive down and get these shells off the bottom of the ocean, which, by the way, was really hard. I don't see so many of these diving challenges anymore because they're so difficult.
Is this where Pascal won the reward?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. I mean, to go down 16 or 15 feet, right? And then turn yourself so your feet are on the bottom of the ocean floor. Do you know how hard it is to get that kind of balance and flip yourself over? So anyway, Sean was struggling with that. And yet he kept going down trying. I mean, he probably made it 3 or 4 feet down the water and that's in and spewed water coming up. But he did get one shell and the kid barely knew how to swim. And I know they showed a little bit of that. I wish they'd shown it more. So Sean was great. He was good. He was bummed I didn't save them.
Yeah.
I know. I felt bad.
Well, you know, just sticking with Sean and V for a second, you know, the Marquesa, that was also the first season that really introduced the idea of both race and religion into the show. And I think what's kind of cool about Survivor is that because it's real people, you know, they have these actual conversations. Like in the first three seasons, like they didn't really talk about that stuff. But even though it was definitely ugly and uncomfortable at times, like it was the first time that those two very potentially controversial or, you know, important things got talked about.
Yeah. Well, let's remember Pascal's segment, or, you know, when they went, Sean and Pascal won that one challenge and they got to go feast
on the horses.
Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the name of that episode was Two Peas in a Pod, won an Emmy.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. I mean, it was a big deal. Let's face it. Pascal is a judge in the Deep South. And, you know, I know he was a little uncomfortable about how this was all going to go down. And they ended up respecting and, like, practically loving each other. There was more of that. See what I mean? That just happened in the earlier seasons. You don't see that now, for crying out loud. You know what else you don't see anymore? And this is another thing that I miss. Those producers, for some reason, were breathing. I'm not laying anything down on the current editors and producers. They probably worked just as hard. But there was something that they just edited, so it really told this amazing story. You know, at the end of each, you know, Thursday night, there was just such an amazing story that they tried to focus on, as well as the game. Mm-hmm. And I just really appreciated that in the early seasons. When there was a fantastic story about two characters or a character, it was just, you know, something pretty passionate. You know, they would end that. I mean, look at it, just, you know, I enjoyed some of that in those first 8 to 10 seasons.
No, I think you're right, because I feel like all of the excitement and the adrenaline that comes in each episode about, like, what's going to happen, who's going to get blindsided. Like, I feel like there would often be episodes in the early seasons that weren't really about the vote. So much.
No.
It was sort of like, okay, the vote is going to be predictable. You know, we know that, you know, this person's going home in this episode, but it was really about the story of what's going on. And again, now, I don't know if we have to fault the editors or if we need to fault ourselves, because we say, would people watch the show if it was, you know, what we're talking about? Like, people would be on the message boards and say, oh, this is boring. It's predictable. So, you know, it's sort of...
Maybe, but you know what? Like, even
a little bit more.
Who was a player? Yeah, they need a little bit more. Like, I talked to the guy who played that had the prosthetic foot.
Chad.
And I was talking to his wife at one of our get togethers, and there was some compelling stuff that happened with him. And they didn't give it any airtime. And okay, they do have to show the game. Get it. I get it. But come on, there must have been some unbelievable, amazing moments of distraught disappointment, which his wife said did happen, and yet some incredible successes. And I just think they should have focused a little bit more on that. Anyway, yeah. Is it Nina or Nina, the gal that is hard of hearing?
Nina.
So, you know, they're making her out to be a little bit of a sour mouth. And even though I do think she shouldn't be doing what she's doing and exploding like that, you know, I think they need to just give the viewers a little bit more, some compassionate background about what it's like, you know, in her world. And they won't do that. There's no time. So that's the only thing I'm a little disappointed that there's a little bit less of that emotion edge. And I do think viewers watch it. I do.
I definitely think that there's a balance that maybe could be struck.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It just came to being after I watched Marquesa. You know, like moments like Two Peas in a Pod between Pascal and Sean, a white circuit judge, and this black kid from LA, that's strong stuff. I mean, and it was, anybody would want to watch that now. It was good. And you know that stuff's happening in the background. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There's some amazing moments like that. It's just they hit the editing floor. I'll probably get a call from someone tomorrow.
I think you're all right. Nick Norris says, did you like seeing another drawing of the rocks at Tribal Council in the first Blood versus Water after being part of the first one in the Marquesa? Now, Kathy, this was so important what you guys did at that final four Tribal Council. What's that? Day 37. You're sitting there and it was, I think, brilliant on your part. So they have the little quiz and Vesepia wins the immunity necklace and it's kind of like the writing is on the wall. Pascal and Aaliyah, they're not going to vote for each other. They're going to vote for you. And Viv would probably just vote for you also. and you say to V, hey, why don't you and I vote together? And then whatever the heat is, I'll take it. Right?
Right. 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 And you know what? Well, that's the one thing on those early shows, people were not negotiating at tribal like that.
That's right. That's right. Nope. Very modern thing to have happen. Whereas in the earlier seasons, a lot of times people just, who's the name? What is it? And then you left for tribal council and everybody, no matter what happened to tribal council, people are, okay, well, we left. They told me it was going to be Wally before. So I got to write down Wally or I'll screw things up.
Yeah, exactly. Back in the old days, you just didn't throw out a negotiating deal right smack in front of everybody and in front of Jeff. So I wish I was remembered for that versus peeing on John's hand. But that's okay.
I haven't even talked about that. Could you just take us back to that moment and did production need to huddle up and talk about what they're doing or knew right away?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there needed to be a huddle. And I actually raised my hand and I said, it's rather pathetic. I know this isn't the rules, but after this many days, seriously, it's going to come down to the rocks, even though I knew that's what I was doing. But at the same time, I still felt like, wow, it's all on chance after all this blood, sweat and tears. So I
would say
really
it was pathetic too. You said it was to production. You said pathetic. This is pathetic.
Yeah, I thought it was pathetic. I just thought there was a better way to determine.
What did you want to do?
What did I want to do? I thought it should have been something based on merit and not luck.
So you like it when they make the fire now? At
fire
Final Four.
Challenge, anything but just the cheer. It was Las Vegas all of a sudden. It was Vegas. And so, but at the same time, I knew I had to do it. It was my only play left and it worked.
Yeah.
And if it didn't work, I was out. So I'm glad that it worked. And
you had nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. And so when they pulled that bag of rocks out after a little conference, and of course they're all excited about it. You know how it works.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, production's like going, hot damn, they're using the rocks. But when it finally got drawn and Pascal got it, I mean, I had a sense of relief, but I was the one who created that. And I was the one who got rid of Pascal, who was a dear friend. And he was mad at me, by the way. He was really mad at me. So afterwards, it was tense, for a couple of days. It all went away, but he was just not happy with me that I created that. I said, well, hey, I'm saving my own skin. Sorry, because you and Nalee are so tight. And so it was a moment and a lot of emotionally charged. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And that moment was so important, Kathy, because they don't have another rock draw on this show for 23 seasons. It doesn't happen again until we get to the final six in Survivor Blood versus Water. Did you have any idea, and I don't know how you possibly could have, that what you were doing was going to, people were going to be so afraid of what happened to Pascal that you'd see whether it was John Cochran or John Fincher, people will change their votes because they don't want to deal with The Rock.
Yeah, no, I didn't expect that, but they were smack on. But I just never thought of it, but they do. They're avoiding it like the plague. So, and doing anything to avoid that rock drawing scenario. I didn't realize it played such a big role in people's decision-making. Yep. I wouldn't have thought of that, but it does. Yeah. Cause it's just too much chance.
Nobody wants to lose that way, but now people are saying, and that's what was the thought, but now people are more and more people are thinking like you, like when we get to things like the final six and say, hey, why don't I pick a rock? Because if I'm going to just come in fourth place anyway, I might as well to take this risk.
Yep. I know. It's just a different way to be looking at it. And that's what's fun about the show now is that there are just these other avenues and things to think about and ways to avoid situations because they're all different options. No, I mean, it's just, even like working with the idol too. I still can't figure out what people tell them. You got the idol, man. I would keep that close to my chest and just work that thing. But it must be different when you're out there. You want to tell someone. I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that maybe it might be a thing where people like earlier in the like in the earlier seasons, like I feel like maybe we were more scared we're going to get voted off. And now people are just like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah, I guess it is because, you know, that gal that just told, who's Majigar? I don't have these names down, sorry. But, you know, I just said, damn, don't tell him yet, man. You know, keep it. Now you got a mark on your back.
Yeah.
Keep that little puppy hidden. Play stupid. Anyway.
Yeah. Kathy, well, this has been so much fun to get a chance to catch up with you. I appreciate so much that you came on. And I don't even know if you realize how many people are going to be excited to hear from you.
Yeah, no, I honestly don't. It's flattering as all get out, let me tell you. And I enjoyed playing that show so much. And that game was just terrific. It's part of my world and I love it. And thank you to everyone. I mean, it's just been really fun talking to you. So the next time I'm out in LA, I got to call you.
Okay, good. Do you have a pick for a winner for Survivor 30?
I don't. Not yet. It's too early.
Anybody that you're rooting for?
You know, until the guy dropped his trowel.
You liked Max.
I liked Max because I thought, you know, being a student of Survivor and he taught it, you know, I just said, hey, man, I think he's going to be interesting. And I liked his comment at Tribal that, you know, the Survivor gods are on us with this rain. But, oh, man, don't take your underwear off. So, I don't have anybody quite yet. I'll let you know.
Okay. Do you want me to give out your Twitter? Do you, or is that just strictly for work related?
No. Go ahead. Yeah, okay. I was just working. I was using it for work, but I'm not using it. No, it'd be fun to tweet. Go ahead.
KOINVT. And also, if you're in the Vermont area and looking at some real estate, Kathy will hook you up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Come on up.
Yeah. KOINVT. Kathy, thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, great talking to you. You look good.
Yeah, you go, though. Thank you. Kathy, and best to you and best to Patrick, too.
All righty. Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Kathy Vavrick O'Brien. And just really fun to hear Kathy's voice, Kathy's laugh. So I really enjoy getting to do stuff like this. So thanks again to Kathy for coming on with us and spending some time talking about all of this stuff. So thank you guys as well, those of you especially who have been voting for us at the Podcast Awards with daily voting going on now for about 2 more weeks. So I really appreciate that at podcastawards.com. Of course, Rob's podcast nominated for Best Entertainment Podcast of the Year and People's Choice Podcast of the Year. So we really appreciate the support. If you want to go ahead and continue to support us, I know it's a long haul, but I appreciate you guys that have been hanging in there with us for this campaign. And if you are also in for another long haul, I recently made a video chronicling what my week is like or what my day is like following the Survivor episode, which is about 30 hours of insanity every week for me after Survivor goes off the air. So if you want to check out my behind the scenes video, it's about 25 minutes. I'm not going to lie. It is very, very long and in-depth. If you want to take a look at that, you can go to robswebsite.com/myday. If you want to take a look at that video, a lot of people have said they really enjoyed getting to see behind the scenes and what the new studio looks like. You can check that out, robswebsite.com/myday. All right, everybody. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments about the Kathy interview. Our next Rob Has a Podcast show, our next official show, will be the Live Know-It-Alls, but we've also been making our daily Road to the Podcast Awards special. So they'll be, you know, every day we'll post a new one of those. Nicole and I answer one question. If you want to get your question into that show, go to robswebsite.com/voicemail. All right. Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye. Hey, now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com. Sign up to get your free sampler box of great-tasting, wholesome snacks. Forget the vending machine. Start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP.